welcome back to another episode of the Freedom Train podcast series. I am Joseph Ward, and as always, I'm joined by my homie, Mr. Patrick Irvin. What up, Pat? Hey, man, get to you anytime and the way you need it. That's how we get it down. It's the Freedom Train podcast series, man, where we give you all of this. All of it, man. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Look, if it's your first time tuning in, you in for a good one because we got a pretty good show for you today with some good information and some good facts and some reactions. We told you that we are incorporating new elements and new things within our broadcast and things that we put out because we are more than just a podcast. We broadcast. We didn't land on podcasting. Podcasting landed on us. We didn't land in pantyhose. I don't know where I'm going with that. But pantyhose landed on somebody's head, and they said, stocking cap.
So, you know, I thought you were going to say pantyhose landed on us, and I was going to be like, nah, they you on your own.
I thought about that. Pantyhose. I thought about that. That's why I had to make sure I made left at Albuquerque. So.
Should have made that left at Albuquerque.
Right. Hey, man. Before we go any more left, remember that? Freedom Train podcast series is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit their website at www.pactsinc.org. That way you can learn more about the organization. You can view their codes of conduct and apply them to your life. You can see how to become a member, how to donate, how to get involved. There's a learning center tab with a whole bunch of resources. And there's a store where you can support. You can purchase things and support. You can also support through the Amazon Smile program. So let me look at you with my good eye. Amazon has a program called Amazon Smile, which allows you to support nonprofit organizations as you shop on Amazon. So you go to Amazon Smile, just type in Amazon Smile on Google, you can go register, and as you sign up, you can pick the organization you want to support, PACTSINC.org, bam. So every time you log into Amazon, make sure you log in with the Amazon Smile program, go ahead and purchase things like you normally purchase things, and bam, a portion of your proceeds go to the organization that you support through Amazon Smile, so check that out. So that's PACTSINC.org with the karate hands. There you go, Pat, with the karate hands. Hey, make sure you visit our website, our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com. Media designed to free your mind. We have this show, the Freedom Train podcast series, also the Fix Sports podcast, Lessons from the Screen, Shelby's World, The Enigma, Sept Hour, as well as the feature with CJ3. We got all these things popping off on the network, and we got new things to come. And so we're going to expand our minds and open up our talent treasure chests and bring y'all some things. So today's show, we got three things we're going to cover, and one thing we're going to cover in a new way. So our first topic, we want to talk about the black Louisiana sheriff, the deputy sheriff, who killed himself because of the amount of racism that was in the department. Also in Louisiana, there's a young lady named Melanie Lyons who was stabbed to death by some girls in the Walmart on her birthday. We're going to talk about that, but we're also going to talk about a way that the story was covered by a black outlet. Because Pat and I had a conversation off camera about the way this story was covered by this black outlet. And we're just going to give our thoughts on what happened, but also the way the black outlet and that particular person on the outlet covered the story. Because we thought it was personal coming from one person. And Our third thing we're going to cover, and we're going to do a reaction video to the elderly white lady. I know that it's videos circulating through social media, but an elderly white lady who's being cared for by a black lady is talking mad shit to the black lady, and she spit on her a couple times. So that was my auntie, my mama, my sister. You know, fades would want to be handed out. But anywho, anything you want to say, Pat, before we dig deep into these things?
Nah, man, let go. For those of you that don't know, it's late. So if you see either one of us looking tired, it's because it's Joe's fault and it's late. That's all.
It really ain't late. His ass late. Just old.
His it's late, bro. I ain't been to bed yet. It's like it's been.
He a vampire. So, a black sheriff's deputy in Louisiana condemned police brutality and institutionalized racism. Then he died by suicide. I'm gonna start by saying you can't clean dishes in a dirty sink. I be saying that. A Louisiana sheriff's deputy died by suicide on Monday after recording and posting to social media videos of himself condemning institutionalized racism and describing his struggle as a black law enforcement officer in a system that he says condones police brutality against black people. Go figure. Lafayette Parish Deputy Kyle Kerr III, who's 43 years old, died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head, according to a preliminary coroner's report. He was outside the Lafayette Parish Sheriff's Office, according to Captain John Maxwell. Kerr became a deputy in 2015. He was a New Orleans native Army veteran and father of two boys. In the videos posted online, he spoke about the police killings of black Americans, such as Breonna Taylor in Louisville, Kentucky, and George Floyd in Minneapolis, which sparked nationwide protests last summer against police brutality and racial injustice. I've had enough of all this nonsense, serving a system that does not give a damn about me or people like me, Kerr said in one video, speaking directly to the camera. You have no idea how hard it is to put a uniform on in this day and age without everything that's going on. So let's stop right there and kind of formulate some dialogue around this.
Okay.
Because, so the first thought come to my mind is, I hate the fact that he killed himself. But, and of course, probably you need to read further, but what's the overall motive or the overall objective or goal of him killing himself? Was it to expose the racism in Louisiana that we already know about? Is it to expose the racism in the police system and the law enforcement that we already know about? Help me out, Pat.
I don't think it was to expose anything. Like I said, I think it was he wanted to draw awareness or attention to something. And I think he hoped that by killing himself with this particular type of suicide note, it would garner media attention and start a conversation about racism and law enforcement.
George Floyd's death didn't. George Floyd's death and everybody's death before that didn't. Because what's the difference?
I guess he would say the difference is he is actually a member of law enforcement doing it, whereas those other instances are where law enforcement is killing people. Like I said before, the conversation is like being had. Awareness is there.
But this is deeper than conversation, though. What conversations? Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think that's where you get into the shallowness and the superficiality of the way people understand racism and white supremacy and what's actually going on. People still think that a conversation is all that's needed. Well, there are a lot of people that still think that.
Well, yeah. I mean, if I ask it like this. what type of conversation, and people, please comment. Please comment. What type of conversation would need to be had for white people to no longer support white supremacy and to give up power, land, resources, and wealth, and fairly give black people what they're owed, what black people worked for, the wealth that black people built in America? What conversations are going to make that happen? Like, what conversations are going to make white people say, you know what, you guys are right. We did y'all wrong for over 400, 500 years. We're going to give you everything that you're owed. What conversation is going to make that happen?
I mean, I'm going to be reading the comments too, because I don't believe there is a single conversation that a black person can have with a white person to bring them to that realization. Now, I do think white people can have certain conversations amongst themselves that can elicit that type of change. But I don't think that it's possible. Because what ends up is, I'm going to say this, because I know a lot of people are going to be like, well, you obviously ain't had a conversation. What ends up happening when you have these conversations, right, is the white person says, you're different. You're not like the rest of them. And they separate you from the rest of them. They don't make a connection where everybody is the same. You become the cool black friend. And you know what I'm saying?
But even so, because I'm still stuck on you saying somebody would say, well, you haven't had a conversation. Having a conversation with regular Jim gonna do what to get land, power, resources, and wealth in the hands of black America? Because what was the point of racism? What was the motivation behind racism, the system of racism? What was the motivation behind the system of indentured servitude, but chattel slavery? What was the overall goal? Was it just to be mean, or were they accumulating something? Because they took a whole continent, that's land, all the resources that's in the land. America became the wealthiest nation in the world and the most powerful nation in the world. So they didn't just do all that just to be like, we hate black people, we hate niggers. That they didn't do that like that. They used black people as a labor class to get everything they have.
But, and I agree with you, the only reason I'm saying but is that goes back to what we were saying earlier about people not understanding, because a lot of people feel like racism is caused by some sort of hatred that white people have towards black people, and hatred has nothing to do with it. That came later.
No, yeah, I mean,
it's not a necessary component of the system. Look, it's like a byproduct of it.
It's real. Look, that's, we've had this conversation before about real white folk and Jim Bob and them who mad. So yeah, Jim Bob and them mad. And they hate niggers because that's the message that they've been given their whole lives. See, their job is to maintain racism and white supremacy on their level. To make sure it don't come up. They doing their job. So they on their level. All right, so they hate you. But they don't have real power. So it's about the white folk who, like, the ones who really run these corporations, the ones who really make things happen, who really have the power, the one percenters, the 0.1%ers, would they give up that wealth? Would they give up that power? We ain't worried about what Jim Bob now. We're talking about real wealth and power, real systematic things, because this officer believed, I'm guessing he believed that he would be able to change some things in the system. But once again, how do you clean dishes in a dirty sink? Like, get an image in your mind of the most disgusting sink you've ever seen in your life. Don't clean it out. Put some Dawn dishwashing liquid in it and and stop. Well, stop, sink up, run the water, put some Dawn dishwashing liquid in it, and let the sink fill up, cut the water off, and wash dishes in that. And see how comfortable you feel eating off those plates that came out of there. Or eating off any dish that come out of there. And for if you really want to clean those dishes, you got to start over with the sink. You got to clean the sink. You either got to replace the sink or you got to clean the sink thoroughly. Because if you don't, those dishes never will really be clean. And that's a metaphor for America. In order to really change things, America has to really be like, all right, we was wrong. We finna start this thing over and we're gonna eliminate any disparities or any inequalities or any wealth gaps or any education. We're gonna eliminate all that and everybody gonna have an equal footing. And matter of fact, we're gonna give black people exactly what they're owed in this country.
Yeah, there has to be a redistribution of resources. That's literally what has to happen if we're going to account for the oppression that's occurred in America.
Right.
And in order for there to be a redistribution of resources, those people with the resources have to be willing to give them up. And a conversation is not going to facilitate that. Like, and I'm not saying a conversation is not a part of it, but you have the conversation with somebody that is totally ignorant of the issue to make them aware. Nobody in America can claim to be aware of our past. The problem is people have different feelings about how impactful it was, the significance of it on today, and all kinds of other moral judgments and perspectives that conversations just aren't going to change.
So,
and then beyond that, you have just the basic group psychology and individual survival instincts of wanting to care for your own family. If you have $100 billion, why would you give away $99 billion to help out a bunch of people that you don't know, that hate your guts already, that blah, 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 blah. Like, why would you? I know there are some altruistic people out there that'll do that, but the vast majority of people are looking out for their own. They're looking out for their family, their immediate family, maybe a small group of friends, and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, all right, so let me read this. It says, in his last video, Curry described himself as a stellar deputy who dedicated his life to the service of others. He also called for additional mental health resources for police officers. I don't have a problem with that, including more frequent psychiatric evaluations. But I do feel like he would have been a more powerful advocate alive for that.
Absolutely.
He says,
absolutely.
He says, this is my protest against police brutality and everything else that comes along with it in this broken, wicked worldly system that does not give a damn about people, the deputy said. And I'm like we was talking the other day offline. I feel like he would have been a better asset alive. We needed him alive, but I don't know. I hate that he killed himself, and I hate that he killed himself for this particularly, because it's really not going to help. It's really not. Somebody got, since his death, a lot more people have been killed by the police, and it hasn't slowed down, and it won't slow down because it's systematic, and that doesn't directly challenge systematic racism. It doesn't.
And not just killed, but beaten, maimed, brutalized, raped.
All types of stuff.
Psychologically harmed. Yeah. But I think that goes back to like what we were saying offline, which is people have romanticized this notion of dying for something. And we don't need people to die for the cause. Like, we need people to live for it. Like, we need people to truly be about waking up every day and trying to make the world a better place. You know what I'm saying? We don't need people waking up every day trying to find a way to prove that they're willing to make the world a better place, even if that means dying.
Right.
Like, because in my opinion, dying is the easy way out. Like, this officer, say whatever you want to say, and I'm not throwing any shade at his conviction, but I am throwing shade at the decision and the execution, because now he doesn't even have room to really explain his message.
Right.
He's dead. His message is left up to interpretation, and people are left to do whatever they will with the words that he left behind.
Right.
He can't drive anything. He can't push anything. He can't develop anything. He can't grow from anything. His message is now just stuck.
As it is,
it's kind of a useless message, in my opinion.
I mean, I don't. Like I say, that's why I hate that. I hate that it comes to this. I understand. Well, you know, at the end of the day, the root of it is racism. The root of his death is exactly what he was dying to fight. But it really doesn't help that much. How do we use that? How do we go from there? How does really get white Americans who are police officers or just any white American who support racism on any level? How does that get them to say, you know what? What we've been doing is wrong, and it's time to change things around. And not just on that level, that moral level. Oh man, they come back and apologize, but going back to an equal redistribution of wealth, land, resources, and power.
But I don't think that's something that we can really answer, because we have to acknowledge, as two black men, this wasn't a message for us.
Right. It's a message for white people.
Right. And with that being said, we can't really, I'll be honest, like, I used to think I understood how to speak to white people, but I've long since given that up, and I've long since given up trying. Like, it's not my responsibility to do that either. And I think as black folk, we all need to come to that point where we no longer feel like it's our obligation to explain how we're being oppressed to the people that are oppressing us.
Right.
Or to explain why the situation is not fair and balanced to the people that are getting the better of the situation. Even if they did understand, what motivation do they have to change it?
Right. I mean, because the system has been in place the way it is for a reason. It hasn't changed for a reason, because it's been benefiting the people that's in power. So only when they get to the point to where they are saying, all right, we don't want to benefit like this no more. Until that happens, I'm not sure why a lot of these things are happening. I'm just not sure, like, how is it going to help? You know,
that's the only thing that makes sense to me is people don't understand. And that's just like, they honestly think that dialogue is the answer to most problems. I agree with that. Especially interpersonal, like close relationship type problems. Person to person, a conversation can solve just about any issue you have. Racism is not a person-to-person problem.
Right.
And we got to stop viewing it like it's a culture-to-culture problem. Like, it's a societal issue. And societal issues, cultural issues, are not solved by conversations between individuals.
Right.
Like, show me, and if I'm wrong, let me know I'm wrong, but show me in the history books where cultural and societal problems have been solved by conversations between individuals. No, what ends up happening is pressure is applied. One culture applies a tremendous amount of pressure on another culture, and that culture having the pressure applied on them changes. And even to that, all of those people out there saying change is slow. No, it's not.
Change can happen as quick as people really want it to.
Right, right. Look at how fast change happened with regards to the Me Too movement. I'm not talking about how old the movement is. We know the movement was started a while back. But when it first picked up steam, you're talking about less than 5 years ago. That thing picked up steam, and here we are today, where the entire dynamic between men and women in the workplace is changed dramatically. The entire dynamic between men and women in society, period, has shifted.
But right, also in that Me Too movement, it affected white people. It affected white women.
It did. It affected. Well, you go back to pressure.
Right. So, in that regard, and looking at black people, what pressure do we have to apply? Because we do have pressure, but that's a question I'm not necessarily asking you, Pat. That's a question to the viewers. Put it in the comment. In your opinion, what pressure do we have to apply, and what's the best way for us to apply pressure? And I'm asking that because I want our viewers and our listeners to start really, if you're doing it already, cool. But the critical thinking piece of us putting together ideas of how can we get out of this situation? Because really, what's the best way that Black America can apply pressure to be able to force the hand to get the things to happen that we need to happen to keep ourselves safe in America so we can truly compete like we're supposed to? And I understand that people don't want us to compete. I understand that. But for us, within us, in our realm, in our lives, in our communities, we want to compete. But a lot of it is we're holding ourselves back from competing in a lot of regards. So how do we stop doing that?
No.
So, but I mean, just overall, like I said, I hate that this gentleman, that he killed himself in the manner they did. I hate that the system of white supremacy ultimately led to that. But I don't know. It just, for me, white supremacy is so real, and white supremacists are so savage that his death looks like it was in vain.
No, there's no looks like about it. It was definitely in vain because, I just think you gotta. It's the conditioning of people in America, and I'm talking about all people, black and white. It's the condition. It's with regards to how we view black people. Even in the way that we're constantly sending people into the police force as if more black cops will make a difference. Like,
yeah, that does not create systematic change. It never has. And I feel like every new generation thinks that will be the answer. And I'm like, well, if it didn't happen the generation before, what make you think it'll happen this generation? As if white supremacist ideas aren't being passed down from generation to generation, how the hell you think you maintain it?
Right, but see, that's where you get into, one, the lack of communication between the generations, because a lot of black people think that they're generating ideas that have not been generated before. Like, they think their idea is unique. Just because it's new to you,
that's problematic. That it's new. That means you not studying history. Well, that's exactly what that means.
We've talked before about the disconnect between the activist and the historian. Used to be that they were paired up together. Malcolm X had his group of historians that he consulted with. Dr. John Henry Clark was one of them.
Yeah.
It used to be that there was a connection between activists and historian, if the activists weren't historians themselves. Nowadays, though, that's not really the case, because these kids, these people that are getting involved in activism now aren't interested in the history. Or either that, or they're not interested in learning the real history. They're interested in learning the quick, juicy shit. So, but I don't, like, so you got that, but then you just, again, I keep saying, and I know we've said it a lot throughout these shows, the misunderstanding of what racism is and what white supremacy is and how it works. We actually act like black people aren't getting indoctrinated in the same way that white people are. So when you get more black people on the force with the same indoctrination that the white kids got, you just got black people doing the same white shit that white people were doing.
And even if the black person is against what's going on, how can you stop it?
Right. You need external pressure so that the black people that do remember who they are and where they come from and what they're there for have the backing to create change through internal mechanisms.
But that goes to pressure. That goes to having organized and inside and outside of it. And that's one thing that black people, we just really haven't done. We haven't organization for us. Like, we'll talk about it, but we don't do it. Like, and we have small factions of it, but we need better organization for external pressure. That's what it is. So yeah. But that's what happened with Officer Kyle Kerr the third. Louisiana Parish Deputy Kyle Kerr the third. All right, so we moving on. And Pat brought this story to my attention. So, Pat, kind of bring the people up to speed, and then we're gonna talk about how it was first introduced to me. So go ahead.
Well, it was introduced to me the same way I introduced it to you. So we have a chat on this app that we're on. Where, you know, we pretty much chop it up with other people. And in the chat, they shared the story was shared of a little girl who was stabbed to death in a fight in a Walmart in Louisiana, I think it was. And a sad story, but there were four girls involved. And they, I guess, for whatever reason, they ended up getting in a fight with the other girl. And it was the girl's birthday, which makes it more tragic. I don't know that it being her birthday actually had anything to do with anything. But I'm honestly saying I don't know. That's not me saying it in like a sarcastic way. But in any case, they got in a fight with the girl and they stabbed her. And then they ran out of the store, they got in the car, and they proceeded to go on Instagram and do a live talking about it. And these girls are teenage girls, the girl that was 12, was like 15.
Ages for the four girls, it was 12, a 12-year-old, two 13-year-olds, and a 14-year-old. And the young lady who was killed was a 15-year-old.
Right. So we're talking about young teenagers.
Babies.
And I had to go back and find all that out, because the way it was brought to me was the same way that it was brought to you, was through this black media outlet. I'm not going to say their name because I don't want to give them no shine. And, you know, I don't like sending views to shit that I don't agree with. But in any case, the lady was going off on the girls, calling them monsters, calling them this, calling them that. She was really just going ham.
Attacking the parenting skills. Attacking the parenting skills of the mother of the young lady who stabbed the other young lady.
Right. And it was personal. It wasn't just about the story.
Right.
It was like she had and apparently she had been attacking, she had attacked mother. This woman
before. In another podcast, right.
Right, and the mother recorded a video responding, And so she made another podcast showing the video that the mother made responding and then attacking the woman again. And then she made a promise that she would make more stories about this particular story. But in the particular video that we saw, she didn't offer any information about the story itself.
Right.
She was just attacking the mother and the children.
Right. Like, yeah, so let's deal with this. All right. So first of all, our hearts and our prayers go out to Melanie Lyons' family and friends and loved ones. As men, black men in America, we are with you all. Our condolences. And if there's any way we can help, let us know. It's unfortunate what happened with this young lady. Like, it was stupidity, some little girl stupid stuff that happened. These little girls are not like getting no pass from us now. But we're making sure as we go in on everybody. That's what we're doing in this. So, four little dumbass girls did some little dumbass shit. And I'm not going to go no further than that, because they did some dumbass shit. And they little girls, they can't even really formulate their sentences correctly. Right?
As proven by the Instagram.
Right. So from some of the information that I came across, I think somebody was saying that the young girl, Melanie Lyons, had been getting harassed by these four girls or something. I don't know how the beef started or whatever, but I know that was at the movies.
I read that as well, but I don't know
if
that's true. But I read the same thing.
Right. And somewhere else I saw or heard where the beef started at the movies and it spilled over to the Walmart. So, you know, she ended up fighting the chick, and it's, you know, the little stupid girls, they went and got a knife and they stabbed the chick. They stabbed, well, I don't mean to say chick, but they stabbed Melanie and she died. Right? If they was adults, I would say they need their ass. But they're not adults. They need real therapy. No little girls need real therapy, because we can't just throw them away. But we got to rehabilitate them.
Yeah, they need a total environmental shift.
Now, do they need a good ass whooping? Yes.
Oh yeah, they need a spanking.
They need a good ass. No, Pat. No, Pat. No.
They don't need
no spanking, Pat.
No,
they don't need no spanking.
That, but you know, they need their ass beat.
They need somebody to break their foot off in their ass.
Yeah, they need their ass beat. I'm being politically correct. They need a spanking.
No. I'm gonna take it left. They need somebody to break their foot off. Yeah,
it's not. They need an ass whooping, though.
but they are children. Because when you look at the video, they really didn't grasp what they had done. Because the girl was like, she probably was the youngest. Look, she looked like she about 10. Like, oh well, if she died, she died. If she died, and that's what she was saying. And then they came back and did two other videos for saying, apologizing to the family, apologizing to everybody, saying we sorry, for saying that she died, and all those things. But it's like, you can see at the time, they had no idea what they'd done. It didn't click into their mind. And I think as it started to sit in their mind, they was like, okay, well, let us apologize. Now I understand that you just murdered somebody. Ain't no apology.
Yeah.
You're going to jail.
For that.
You're going to jail. So that was the thing about the girls is they're little girls who did some dumbass little girl stuff. And so that's why I didn't appreciate the lady in the broadcast calling them monsters. And she attacked the young lady who stabbed Melanie. The lady in the broadcast attacked her mother. Now, as Pat was explaining, when her mother did a reply to the original podcast that the broadcast lady did, the mother's reply was not malicious. The mother didn't say anything wrong or bad or anything about nobody. She kept it about her and was just defending her character and her family. The lady in the broadcast seemed to have an issue with that, and that's why she came back with this hit piece on this channel, going in on a lady, calling the monsters, saying bad parenting, and then telling people about the lady's Facebook page where she's dressing inappropriate and she's saying inappropriate. They were inappropriate to who? If you, a mother shouldn't talk like this, mother shouldn't do this. Well, you probably a mom. And if you a mother too, lady, it's inappropriate. Your actions in this video are very inappropriate. How about that? If you a mother, why are you doing this? Why are you in your feelings because the lady simply defended her character with no malice? You really mad that this lady stood up for her own character? She didn't absolve her daughter. But at the same time, because the lady, the mother of the young lady who stabbed Melanie was saying that Melanie is an overall good kid. She didn't have any issues with them. And she never really had issues with Melanie. She was saying, she came out and said, she came out and said the other young lady was her best child. So the lady in the broadcast was like, that can't be true. She can't be a good kid. She can't be your best child. And the lady got a son that's in jail for murder as well. And so she just basically was trying to drag this lady through the mud. And if you really go back and look at it, then you put the pieces together, it was all revenge. She was mad that the lady stood up for herself. The lady didn't try to, exonerate her daughter or anything like that. But she was saying overall, my daughter is a good person overall. But she's a child at the end of the day. You really going this hard to drag a child, drag children through the mud, calling them monsters, and then go out of your way to go after this lady's character, who this lady is, and then sending people to her Facebook page. Really?
Yeah, and that part was messy and inappropriate. Sending people with negative energy to somebody else is always going to be a bad look, especially in this situation where she's already dealing with a large amount of negativity because of what her daughter just did. But in addition to that, it's very inappropriate for that channel as a pro-black news channel,
right,
to cover it in that way. So if you want to talk about inappropriateness, only are you inappropriate as a black woman for coming at another black woman in a public space like that, you're inappropriate as a mother for coming at another mother in a space like that, and as an entire news outlet, you're inappropriate for coming at black children like that. Like, and this is where, like, I know a lot of people get comfortable behind their cameras and they get comfortable thinking that, you know what I'm saying, they're speaking to a specific audience only. It's almost like they forget, yeah, but you're on a public platform.
Everybody can see this shit. And we got to remember you got to remember how you talk about your people in front of people. That doesn't mean we can't give somebody the business. That doesn't mean we can't call somebody out or hold somebody accountable for their actions. Them little girls need their ass whooped. Just straight up. Like, they need their ass whooped, but they need therapy. But they little girls as well. So you got to treat it as some little girls they murdered another little girl. So how do we stop this from happening again? But at the same time, we can't throw these little girls away. Right. You can't take a 12-year-old, two 13-year-olds and a 14-year-old because of this and just throw them away. You can't do that.
Yeah, you drag. If they were adults, we would be having a totally different conversation.
Right.
But these are very young children. A 12-year-old, two 13-year-olds, and a 14-year-old. These are very young children. Mentally, they aren't developed. It was clear from watching them talk about the situation immediately after it happened that they didn't understand what they had done. And look, I have a daughter. And so, you know, I can definitely understand, like, not even just having a daughter, as somebody with kids, you can understand, you can try to sympathize and empathize with someone losing their child. On the other end, anybody with kids also knows that your kids regularly do shit that you've told them not to do or you've trained them not to do. And as an adult, it's easy for us to forget what it is to be a child and to think, well, there's no way I would ever do this. Yeah, in your adult brain, that's what you're saying. Right. But how many of us as kids did a whole bunch of other shit that our parents trained us against doing? How many of us got caught up in the moment doing shit? Now, yeah, murder is a whole separate other thing, but that's just because it went there. How many of us have gotten in fights where we stomped somebody's head into the street? That could have ended up as a murder. Got in fights where we was throwing punches. We punched somebody in the nose. Could have broke their nose. That could have ended up in murder. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
Adults do dumb stuff all the time. We're in the middle of a coronavirus pandemic, and adults can't seem to wear masks or can't seem to understand I need to cover my nose and my mouth.
Committing murder right now. You're right.
I'm just saying adults do dumb stuff all the time. So why wouldn't you expect kids to do dumb stuff?
But I also want to push back. And the reason I took the approach I took is because it's commonplace for people to be like, oh, well, if a kid did something bad, it must be because of parenting.
No.
And I used to think that until I started paying attention and then I became a parent. And you realize that you can train your kid up to be the most awesomest person in the world. You're not the only influence on your child. Society is an influence on your child. Other children are influences on your child, which means that the way the next motherfucker is raising their kid is influencing your kid. So it's bigger than just parents. And then you look at the environment. So this woman, you know, the woman, and I'm looking at the woman like she has 9 kids.
Well, and that's another thing, like the lady, she has 9 kids. She the way she said it, she was looking down on the lady for having 9 kids. Then she tried to clean it up. Well, it's nothing wrong with having 9 kids, but it was like, no. You were looking down on this lady for having 9 kids. So, of course it's going to be difficult for the lady to raise 9 kids. So the lady basically went out of 9 kids, 2 of your 9 kids are on trial or have been indicted for murder. All right. But you don't know nothing about this lady. This lady could be doing her best. This lady could be the best mother she could be. Like, she basically through what she saw through the Facebook page, called the lady ratchet, classless, and all these things, basically saying she a bad mother, she a bad person, because of what I see from your Facebook page and what happened with your daughter. And it's like, well, if we're going to do it like that, then what we seen, the first interaction I seen with you, you a horrible person, and you seem like you'll sell black people out. If we want to go by that, like you seem like the lady from the broadcast, she seemed like she'll do anything to get a story out to go viral to be seen. If we want to go by that, right? I mean, if we use her logic.
I mean, and you can't argue with it because she stooped to calling black kids monsters to get views. I mean, Hillary Clinton got the book thrown at her for far less. I mean, I'd rather be called a super predator than a monster.
By your own people.
Right.
An adult. These kids are monsters. Monsters do that. Wow.
Well, monsters also do what you did in front of that camera by attacking 12, 13, and 14-year-olds.
But you know what the kicker was? She was like, I normally don't talk about kids like this. Well, oh, okay. Okay. So I get it. You mad at the mama for defending herself. That's why you decided to talk about kids like this. Because if you normally don't talk about kids like this, well, what would be the difference in this situation? Oh,
yeah, but
the mother defended her character. That's it.
But you know, people say shit like that when they doing something they usually do. They just doing it in an environment they don't usually do it in. Like, you do usually talk about people's kids like this. You just probably haven't done it in front of a camera before.
Right.
But them words was flowing out of her mouth far too smoothly for her to say she's never done that before. Like, she wasn't second-guessing or second-thinking at all until she was trying to clean it up.
Yeah.
No, lady, you talk about kids all the time. Just own it.
Like,
right. Like, it's a lot of channels out there that talk shit about kids, black kids in particular. You're one of them. Own it.
Yeah. Because you had to go on two separate podcasts to talk about it. So you went on one. The one to tell the story, and you talked about the mom on the first one. You talked about bad parents. You called the mom. You basically called the mom a bad parent on the first one. The mother responded with no malice, defending her character. The lady got mad. I'm gonna talk about this again. I'm gonna show her.
Yeah.
And put that video.
Use my platform to beat up on her because my audience is bigger than hers.
Oh, yeah. And everybody go to her Facebook page and see just how ratchet and classless and how horrible of a mother she is. Thank you. You might as well be the Black Fox News. Because what's the purpose of having black news outlets if you're going to talk about black people in the same manner that the white outlets talk about us?
Yeah,
because she went out of her way to do this.
Last time I looked at that video, it had over 50,000 views. And so you just sent 50,000 people to that woman's Facebook page.
Thank you.
With negative energy.
Thank you. Because that's really going to help improve the parenting.
Right. It's going to help the community. Yeah. Never mind that you're going to stress the mama out and potentially turn some other kids into issues or potentially send people to that woman's doorstep.
Because I mean, the thing is, you could have, they could have took the approach of, well, let's reach out and see how we can help both sides because we don't want these things to happen again. So how can we help both sides? You don't have to agree with what the children did. Nobody agrees with what the children did. Once again, they need their ass whooped. They did some dumb shit. They need their ass whooped.
But even to that, let's address it, because the comments in that video was like, you could tell how the you could tell the mama's the problem. Look at how nasty she's being. She don't have no accountability in her voice.
She didn't say anything nasty. She didn't say anything nasty, wrong, or malicious towards anybody.
My thing was, she was emotional. You could hear that. But, like, that's like, duh. Wouldn't you be emotional?
But my question, I want somebody to point out what she said that was nasty, that was out of place, or anything.
Well, no, she didn't say anything that was nasty or out of place. I think people were picking up on the tone. But my thing was, the tone was appropriate for what she's going
through. Right, right.
So, but even in that, it wasn't about defending her daughter. It was about defending herself as a mother.
Right.
So even to the people saying she's not taking accountability for what her daughter did,
go ahead. Look, because it's like, okay, I'm not a parent, but you are. So you're doing the best you can. One of your sons, he don't mess with nobody. He don't cause no issue, cause no trouble. Start hanging out with whoever and end up in something like this. That doesn't mean you're a bad parent. That means your child made a bad decision. That's what that means.
That's where I go into before you really start casting aspersions at people for their parenting skills and things. And we can make jokes about the things we agree with or disagree with, but what this lady was doing went beyond jokes. Like, she was seriously attacking these people. And the fact of the matter is, I think a lot of parents, and especially people that aren't parents, but a lot of parents as well, feel like their kids are little toys that they can, they have absolute control over. Well, my kid would never hang out with somebody like this because I would set them. You wouldn't even know. How would you know?
Right.
How would you know?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't like this woman. Go ahead.
No, I just say, yeah, for whoever would say that, yeah, because your parent know everything you did.
Right. Like, and that's why I be like, adults, that's why I'm happy I remember what kind of kid I was, how I thought, and how I moved as a child. I'm glad I remember that because I listen to a lot of adults talk, and I'd be like, you literally have forgotten the first 17 years of your life.
I did
you
something.
You have to have forgotten it.
I did some dumb shit, but it's a miracle I don't have no feathers. But I did some dumb shit.
You know, I did some crazy stuff too. My record had to get expunged when I turned 18, but here's the deal, right? Even if I hadn't gotten into any legal trouble, I still did things that went against what I was taught, what I knew better than to do. Even if I did get out of my childhood scot-free, I haven't met a single person yet that could say they were 100% totally obedient to everything their parents said issue.
Nah.
And so we got to remember, like, kids are their own people. Like, they make their own decisions. You know what they I'm do. Saying? So we can talk about the environment. Yes, that's a valid point of discussion. We can talk about the environment. Because if you want to say, okay, she has 9 kids and 2 of them have gotten mixed up in murder charges, and you want to talk about the environment that those kids must be in, I feel like that's a fair discussion to be
the
had.
Environment.
But let's have that. Let's have a conversation about the totality of it. What? Not just her parenting, but the entire community. And that indicts all of us.
But also, like, if you're gonna take that angle and you're gonna take the angle to question parenting, I need you to go really look at the full situation, investigate the full situation, and bring back detailed information before you just go on TV and lambast somebody's name like that.
You got to know the details. You're 100% right. You have to know the details.
Because other than that, you can be like, oh, she's a bad parent. This only happens to bad parents. It's so many bad parents out there. Then she was like, I think the parents should go to jail. Stop lying. You know damn well you don't think parents should go to jail if they child murder something. If your child murder somebody, you know damn well you wouldn't be standing up. I should go to jail too. I should go. You wouldn't be saying that. You just mad because that lady defended her character. That's what that was about. You know damn, she know damn well she don't feel like parents need to go to jail.
But you know, she might, because there is a large section of people that really feel like parents should serve time for their children doing committing crimes.
So you believe she would serve time if her child did the crime?
No, because when these people say these things, they're usually talking about other people, not about them.
So once again, they don't really believe that shit. Because if it don't apply to you, then you don't really believe it.
Yeah, but you know how incongruent people, a lot of people say shit all the time that don't apply to them.
That shit. Once again, thank you for a broadcast that did not help our community.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to have these discussions 100% seriously about black children and the types of things and trouble and blah, 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 then we have to look at the entirety of the community. Environment actually plays a bigger factor than parenting, if we're being 100% real with it. Environment plays a bigger role in the success or failure of a child's life than parenting. And there's studies to back that up. The zip code that your child grows up in is more a bigger determining factor of sort of position they're going to be in as an adult than anything you've done as a parent.
Yeah.
Just by simply moving to a different neighborhood changes the outlook of that kid's life. And that goes back to the conversation we had about understanding racism and white supremacy, because that plays a lot into why changing neighborhoods has those effects. But the fact of the matter is, if that's a bigger indicator than parenting skills. So if we're going to talk about black kids being monsters, we have to talk about the neighborhoods that they grow up in. Which case, we have to indict the entirety of the black community, because our neighborhoods are bad because we allow them to be that way.
Yep.
So, you know, we can sing all the songs and dances about how the white man set it up, and I won't even argue with it. But the fact of the matter is, we live in those communities every day. And instead of going out and making them better, we cower in our houses, afraid of the kids that we raised. And then we get on YouTube and call them monsters and talk shit about them instead of leaving our houses and actually doing something about the kids that are out there in our communities causing problems.
Once again, thank you for a news broadcast that did not help us.
And I want to say too something else real quick. For those people that are following black news outlets, don't follow a black news outlet just because it's a black news outlet.
It needs to be quality.
Right. Make sure that they're adhering to some sort of standard, some sort of code of conduct. And belittling and attacking children can't be, like, that can't be acceptable. Especially, like, black children. That can't be acceptable. Belittling and attacking black people in general without offering any help on the other end can't be acceptable. Kicking people while they're down can't be acceptable.
Black news outlets might as well not exist if you're going to do the same thing that white people do and talk about black people the same way white people. What's the point? Anywho, no more about that. So we got a reaction. We're going to do a reaction video. A reaction to this video that's been circulating through social media of a black care worker who's taking care of this old white lady. And the old white lady got a lot of shit to say. And she spit on us. So go ahead, man. Run that thing.
The kind of fire you like. Thinking rotten fire. Just like you. And you're a liar. And a thief. And an actress. And an actress too. Don't take my car. Because if you do, I will call the police and tell them to pick it. It's a stolen car. So don't take my car anywhere. Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, man, look. Hey. I don't care how old that lady is. First and foremost, before you hit that play button again, I don't give a damn how old that lady is. Let me get up in this thing. Look, I don't give a shit how old that lady is. Her old ass know better. That old ass lady know better. Fuck her age. Her age is no protection for that bullshit. Because if that lady would have gave her a fade, she would have been well within her rights. Because that's that bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck it. Fuck all other type of sensibilities. She's an old lady. I don't give a damn. That means she old enough to understand that what she doing is bullshit. You can't tell me that. You can't tell me that lady don't understand exactly what she did. She had to, come on, Pat. Hit play. Hit play again. Let's look at this. Let's commentate this. We're gonna be like this is a football game. See, first she come up and she talking shit. Well, she bite the fruit with the intention of spitting it on this lady.
Mm-hmm.
And she spit. She lined up and she lines up and spit with the turkey neck.
Mm-hmm.
With that loose ass neck she got. That loose ass neck she got. She lined that loose ass neck up and spit on that lady.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that lady over there looking. Fuck that old.
She got closer.
Fuck that old lady.
Now this is what was funny to me, right? So after she spit on, she get closer to her, spit on her again. The black lady give her the "I wish you would, bitch" look. And the white lady give her the "bitch, I'm going to" look.
Right. Because she was going to throw the thing, but she thought about it. Well, maybe that shouldn't. But I'm like, all right. So, because I'm also thinking that maybe this lady had to record this video to prove that this white lady was like this. Because this maybe. White lady need to be fucked up. I don't care what nobody say. She need to be fucked up. There is no age cap on getting fucked up, especially when you're doing stuff like that. Like, man, let's start a GoFundMe for that lady so she can whoop that whole lady ass. Oh, man. Look at this shit. Look how she lined it up.
And that's where she confirmed it. Yes, I am going to do it again.
Yeah, she thought, she like, I may not throw this. I ain't going to throw it. But guess what? I'll bite this bitch.
I'm going to bite it.
And I'm going to spit it at you. After I call you a thief and a liar and all that. So this must happen often. This must happen often.
I'm sure it does. That she even had the wherewithal. Oh, you see, she jumped with that one a little bit.
Yeah. This old white bitch been
that one.
This white bitch been treating black people like this her whole life.
Oh yeah.
She need to be kicked in the pussy. Kick her in her old ass pussy.
Kick her in the pussy. Yeah. Yeah. And so she, you know, she was waiting for the lady to do something to her. That's what the jump was.
Right. Cause she was gonna go call the police.
Oh yeah,
but this is
she was gonna do.
This is assault. So she just recorded this old lady assaulting her, spitting on somebody's assault.
Yeah, and if so she just old lady got any sort of deadly diseases, ain't that attempted murder too?
On to my, we in the middle of a pandemic, and she doing this like the lady was. Hey, look, man, she better than
and
me.
Look at all that shit on the floor. Like I'm assuming all of that is shit that
come from the white lady
thrown at her.
No, that she better than me, bro. She's better than me, cause bro. That old lady would have got it.
She called her a thief and an actress. How is she? What is she acting?
That's what I want to know, man. Like I guess cause she act like she don't do the things that the white lady's accusing her of doing. But come on, man. This is old.
She is a good actor. She is a good actor. Because she gave her that look like she was going to whoop her ass.
Yeah,
and that was an act.
I mean.
Because she.
But is the job worth that?
No.
Because that lady deserve a whole fade.
Yeah. She does. She and definitely deserves soap and a sock.
I mean, does she have like another lady around her age who still got some spunk who can go get an old lady a fade? Like, I would have brought somebody back or something. We can't get away. She would have had
your great aunt.
I couldn't let, if it was me, I couldn't let that go. There's nothing nobody could tell me to let that go. Somebody, I'm finding, if I can't do it, I'm finding somebody to put hands on this old lady who's close to her age, like whoop her ass. Because she basically was like, you a peon, I'm superior, you're inferior, and I'ma remind you how superior I am to you. I can't even wipe my own ass, but I can spit in your face.
Yeah, I probably just leave the job altogether, if I'm being honest.
I probably would have felt.
I can't imagine anything is worth that. And then she said, if you take my car again, I'm going to call the cops.
Man, I probably would have filled that bowl up with water and splashed the hell out of the old ass. I would at least, but it's like, at the same time, though, there's nothing about this whole situation or that lady's age or health that should save her from getting her ass whooped.
No, absolutely not.
Because once again, you're old enough to understand what you're doing. Like, because think about it. Think about the story we were just talking about coming to this. So if we're going to be like, okay, kids should understand what they like, and I'm not saying the kids should understand, but if you're gonna go with the mindset of little kids should understand what they're doing, then this old ass fruit bat should understand what she's doing.
Oh, absolutely.
She don't get
the age safety protocol.
Nah.
And she don't have the complexion for the protection. So not with me anyways. I'm sure she does in the dominant society.
Man, look, I think I left something similar to that old lady in the toilet this morning. I'm just saying, bro. Like,
I definitely agree.
That's trash. Like, that old lady is a piece of trash, and she need to understand it. And that somebody need to fuck her up. Like, that's dehumanizing, man. You don't spit in nobody's.
It really is.
You don't spit in nobody's face, bruh. And she intentionally, I'm going to bite this piece of fruit to spit it in your face to further the, I'm going to dehumanize you as many times as I can. That's what that was. I'm going to dehumanize you as many times as I can. Why? Because I am superior and you are inferior. That's what that was.
Yeah, and I'm having to control my reaction because I've had an instance where somebody spit in my face, and every time I see something like that, I relive that experience. And it was a white person that spit in my face too. Now I didn't react in the same calm demeanor as that black lady did in the video, but yeah, that is about as dehumanizing thing as you can do to somebody is to spit in their face. Like, there are a couple things I can think of that's worse, but that list ain't long.
And listen, it's the only thing above that is doodle and pee. That's it. but it's like, come on, man, like. All right, so let's put together somebody need to do that GoFundMe, get that lady out of there. She don't need, like, and I'm pretty sure she made this video to prove that this old piece of shit act like this.
Oh yeah, you know she did. She had to.
Cause she probably been telling people this.
Yeah, old turd been telling that she wrong.
Old turd here is doing this. Oh, cause old turd been like that her whole life. And old turd. I've been telling y'all what's happening. You don't want to do nothing about it, so now the whole world finna see old turd acting like this. She should have slapped the dog shit out of that white lady. Cause she deserved it. She deserved it. Wow, man. Wow. I don't know, man. That's one reason why I want my kids to have financial advantage so they don't have to do stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Because we,
you know, if they do do something like that out of charity, they can beat the dog shit out of somebody
yeah,
with a good lawyer.
Because a lot of black people have to take shit like that. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it for that lady. And that old fuck you. Yeah, fuck that you old white talk lady. About
somebody that need their ass whooped. That old white lady, all she need is one good ass whooping. All that black lady had to do is just slap her one good back, time.
And don't even back in uppercut her ass.
Yeah, you just slap her hard as shit. Leave a mm-hmm. nice little purple bruise on her.
I want her to George Foreman, goddamn Sonny Liston, damn
nah,
cause it's in her prime, like
it's something disrespectful about slapping a motherfucker.
But that damn Joe Frazier uppercut. You know, or that Javante Davis uppercut do something to you though.
Hey, it might, but it's something like real disrespectful about slapping this shit.
It is slapping is disrespectful, but uppercut is reminded motherfucker. Like later I would snatch every inch of existence out of you.
Right.
That's crazy.
Like
that's
you
crazy.
In a rush to meet your maker. All
that's right. Crazy. Right. She need an ass whoop for that. She need an ass whoop. Yeah. I'll be out looking for the first person I can find that's around her age, they still got some spunk in them. Hey, I'll buy you something if you go whoop somebody's ass for me.
How you get
straight up? I'm just trying to find out how old is she. Yeah, all right. How old are you? You 70 something? You can still fight. Let me throw a punch. Oh yeah, that's what I need. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. That's crazy.
Yeah, she
go to hell, old lady. Go to hell.
Absolutely.
Hey man, that's our show today. Really going down. Freedom Train Podcast series. Joseph Ward, Patrick Irvin, whichever way he is, and point both ways, whichever way he is. www.freedomtrainradio.com is our home. Check us out for all the different podcasts we got. Remember, we're on iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, Public, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and a whole bunch of other podcast outlets. Of course, right here on YouTube. Subscribe, like this video, comment, subscribe to the channel, hit that notification bell, share this, get that algorithm going. Make sure you pick us up in this algorithm. Freedom Train Podcast Series. We out here, man. And I don't have no fancy ending, so bye.